This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Tim Benta, President of Progressive Management System, Juan Vargas, Vice President of Business Development of Progressive Management System, and Patricia Quezada, Director of Revenue Cycle at Progressive Management Systems. Tim, Juan, Patricia, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's our pleasure.
Now, I'm really excited to dive into our conversation because I know we have a lot to talk about in terms of patient collections, revenue cycle management teams, and how to really get the most out of your team. So my first question is, why is kindness so important for the patient collections and revenue cycle teams?
This is Tim. I'll open that up. We have been in specifically and only medical collections and revenue cycle management for over 40 years. And it's a different world than other types of receivables. In order to gain any benefit or any success, you have to work with the patient. And so for many years, our motto was solve the problem equals collect the money equals keep the customer. We get to keep our customer, and our customers get to keep their customers. And community involvement is so important. Most of our hospitals and physician groups are community-based and many community-owned. And so how they're viewed in the community is incredibly important. When Juan joined us, he actually came with customer service background. I'm going to let him speak to a little bit more about why it's important to present ourselves that way in the community.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Tim. This is Juan Vargas. And my experience, you know, dealing with the public and working with clients, when you call them, in our world now, when I came and joined MPMS, we deal with patients, our hospital's patients. We know that they are going to be back to the hospital. And if we only think and have the mentality of collections in our case, it gets a little bit rough. So when I came in, when I joined, I said, you know what? We like to see our hospitals, our clients as partners. We are an extension of the hospital. Therefore, we have to be very careful in the way we talk to the patient because they want to come back anytime. And I kind of wanted to change the mentality of being collectors, and I brought the idea saying we are patient services. We are serving the community, and we don't want to put our hospitals with bad name. We need to treat people the way we like to be treated. We came up, one of our directors came up with a PhD a label for all our reps on the phone, meaning that they all have to preserve human dignity. And I love that idea. And we work with it and talk to our employees and say, every time you touch that patient, you are making a difference. And maybe it's going to be the only time that patient is going to be talking to that hospital. And we are collecting money, but we also helping the patients to understand how difficult sometimes it is to pay a medical bill. And I know you guys know that it's not easy. It's complicated. Some of them get lost. So for us, it's the chance we have to collect that money and help the patient, walk them through the questions or the confusion they have. And for us, that's the key, because that's the key to success, helping people in the phone. Every person that we touch in every call it needs to feel that they're not just being harassed, that they're just being asked for money, that not only we want them to pay, we want them to understand. And we want our clients also to know, to trust the people that they're giving their accounts to be collected. So for us, in my mind, for the way we treat our employees, say, no, we're not collectors. We're not people harassing people on the phone. We are customer services, customer patients, helping them to understand and why they need to pay the bill. And that's one of the things that we preach in our floor. We tell our people why it's important and why we need to feel that we are part of the hospital and we are just an extension of the business office.
And I'll jump in. From the point COVID started, many of our facilities wanted to know what we were going to do differently to acknowledge that there was fear, unemployment, financial problems in the industry. And we started something that we added to our solve the problem equals collect the money campaign. And we put out a motto for our employees, very simple, be kind. If you simply be kind in all of your communications and realize that you could be in the same predicament as the people on the phone, you're going to gain their trust and you're going to gain their cooperation. And really, when you're trying to collect any kind of a bill, what you're really doing is you're selling, and you're selling the idea that they need to cooperate. It's so easy in the medical world if they are cooperating, because if people have the money, you can arrange the payment with them. If they have a problem with a third-party payer, you can help them with that. If they simply don't have the means to pay, every single one of our hospitals has a charity program and the ability to either get them enrolled in a government program or get them into a charity. And that's different than any other form of collections. There's no need for an account to go all the way to bad debt if you can simply sell cooperation from the public all the way. Really, getting anyone to cooperate with you stems from the very simple process of being kind. And if you're nice to them and actually recognize what they're saying, you can improve your collections and improve the image of the client out in the community.
And just to add to that, I think during COVID, a lot of people were just, sad and with the unknown. We didn't know what was going to happen. So it was important for us that we were thinking that we were going to be not in the position to collect the money because of the situation that was going through. It was surprising for us that when we take also that extra step of be kind, that we got results. As a matter of fact, our company had a record year in payments from patients, the people that were really wanted to do the right thing. And I think that's the bottom line for me. When we train our employees, say, you know what? Everybody in the phone, really, the people that you want to talk to and that you are going to talk to is in the position where they want to do the right thing. Let's just help them to get there. And helping them to get there is better for us, for the patient, and for the hospital that we're working for. So we are very passionate. I think it's one of the, a little bit different than other companies that I know, is that we are very passionate in our patient services, our customer services. For us, it's very important to keep the communication very, very clear and very open with our clients, with our hospitals. So we have a group that talks to the people in the hospitals with the business offices to make sure that we have the right information to pass on to the patient. So we're in the middle, but we have, and I have that mentality and that passion that we need to be in top of our game when we deal with our hospitals and we deal with our patients. And that has paid out for us. And we're very, very happy to keep this business going during this pandemic and during these troubled times for this country and for the world. And being able to keep afloat and getting people help to do the right thing.
Well, I think that sounds great. And obviously, like you mentioned, this past year has been so challenging for not only hospitals and health systems, but also patients and people who are within the community who are experiencing the illness or their family members are experiencing illness. And so I think it's so important, as you mentioned, having that kind of culture of kindness and that approach to any kind of interactions with the patients and their family members that can really leave a better taste in their mouths and spread your great reputation of hospitals and health systems across the community. I'm wondering, from your perspective, how can leaders build a really sustainable culture of kindness among their teams?
Our director of revenue cycle to speak on that, her name is Patricia Kisava, and she had to do that. She had to build that from our Be Kind campaign and install it in everybody's head. So, Patty, please go ahead.
So, hi, good afternoon to everyone. Sustainable culture. So, to me, we've been building a sustainable, kind culture for many, many, many years now. One of the things that I know is that as a collection agency, one of the things that I always tell people, we are unlike any other agency. We preach customer service. We preach PhD, preserve human dignity. And it starts with from the office out. It starts from the bottom down. So one of the things that I know is we have an open door policy. If an employee has a problem, we ask them, please come to one of us. Don't be afraid. Come to us. We will help you. And one of the things that I really take pride to know that we do is that we are kind and respectful to all of our employees. With that said, when we are training to do, you know, or do our new hire staff training, remedial training, we're always talking about PhD. We need to preserve human dignity. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, today I want to have a heart attack and end up in the hospital. I don't want to have an accident and end up in a hospital. So we need to remember that. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to do this. We see ourselves as teachers. We teach our consumers. We teach them about what is a balance after insurance, what is a copay. You know, it's that be kind approach. We need to listen to them. Don't just get on the phone and you know, ask for the money. Solving the problem doesn't always mean collect the money. It means, you know, there might be a payment plan. There might be financial assistance. There might just be something where they say, I just cannot pay no matter what. And we have that be kind approach. We have to listen to them, just like we do internally to our employees, and we build a relationship with them where we know that everybody has different situations. This last year, this year, for the last year and a half, it's been very tough for many of our employees, the ones with children, the ones, you know, with spouses without a job. And, you know, one of the things that I could say is a year and a half ago when this pandemic started, we were able to send 97% of our staff home to work from home. We laid off no one. And I think that's part of our be kind. I know the executive team went above and beyond to make sure that everybody had a job. And that's part of our be kind. Going outside of PMS, I know Tim and Juan are always traveling. They're always out to visit our clients and make sure that they're happy with us. And that is a part of our be kind approach. Tim?
Yeah, you also spoke to how the employees were wrapped up in our be kind from their personal perspective and reminding them you could be ill, you could be going through financial troubles. We were very fortunate that we were able to send everybody home. We were actually under a county order to close our office. And little bit of a story, just kind of what had been built in our culture, because we're 100% employee owned. And so our employees are very engaged. When the order came from our county that said, everybody's got to go home today or leave the office, really most of us thought that that might be the end of the company, might be the end of the business. How are we going to do this? I think a lot of people just didn't know what the future looked like. And we had people in our offices crying, offering to work for free, wondering what was going to happen. Some of these people now we haven't seen in a year and a half, but they're working successfully from home. We had the best year we ever had. And the people actually bought in because they were appreciating how the group was treating them. Patricia was so right. It starts with how you treat them. And then being able to pass on, your people that you're talking to on the phone are going through some sort of a difficulty. And so just recognizing that, recognizing what you would be in that position if we hadn't been able to send you home, continue supporting your families. We were very fortunate. We've had nobody become seriously ill and lost no employees, thank goodness. But our retention is good. People are bought in. Our collections actually went up, but our complaint levels went down. The two big measurements are how much are you bringing in and how happy was the public with being able to do that. Complaints down, collections up, it's a good thing. So that's part of the sustainable culture.
And I think, Tim, it kind of answers one of the questions, which is how does kindness affect the organization's bottom line? I think this is what we're talking about. You know, it's the being kind approach where our employees feel, you know, wanted and needed. And, you know, them knowing that really helps us keep the door open for our employees, for our clients, for our consumers.
It's so true. And you know what? It just feels better along the way. When you're able to do what you feel is the right thing for your consumers, your employees, your coworkers, your friends, it becomes sustainable on its own because people enjoy doing the right thing.
And I just want to add to that because we are a collection agency and we do approaches, you know, in other parts of the revenue cycle. But I learned something, you know, early in my career in customer services. I worked for a nonprofit organization for many, many years. And we have my leadership in that time and my mentors. We learned that if you want a good response from people, you have to touch them. You have to be able to communicate and to relate to them. And we have a saying, you know, there, and I thought it was so true because I was a Spanish-speaking line. You know, I talked to people from all over South America and Central America and Mexico. And you realize that when you touch people's hearts, they will open their wallets. They will understand that they need to pay. And that makes it easier for the caller, for our rep on the phone, and for the patient. And always thinking again, you know, again, preserving human dignity. And I think any business office for any hospitals, they are interested in the numbers. I know that they say, we can be all kind you want, and you can be very customer service oriented, but at the end of the day, you also have to see results. Also have to see the numbers and money that we are bringing into the company. We are very aware of that, and we are very successful, and we are very happy to say, wow, we went a little bit too soft, somebody might say, with the people on the phone, but the numbers speak for themselves. We have great, great response in our numbers.
Absolutely, yes. And I think it's so impressive, as you mentioned, having your best year ever last year, seeing collections go up and complaints go down. That's amazing, and what a great story and testament to the idea of kindness and bringing that culture-wide, company-wide to what you're doing, and also imparting that then to become an extension of the hospitals and healthcare organizations that you're serving. Now, I'm wondering next, where are the best opportunities for innovation in patient collections going forward?
I think the best opportunity for us and for everybody is to share with your employees, educate your employees, help them to come aboard in your plans. And I think if the hospitals and any part of the business extension for the hospitals take that mentality, which I think that right now, Tim and I go to conferences, well, not anymore right now, face-to-face, but in our experience before COVID, we were going to conferences and seminars where the main point was the patient experience, that we need to have a good vision and a good base to help our employees to touch and to talk to the patient and have them have a good experience when they talk to anybody that is representing the hospital. So I think if we take that mentality, anybody that is on the phone with the patients, I think that can change the culture and improve the way people are treated on the phone. Tim?
I think one of the big things that has to do with innovation going forward relates to, number one, how in sync are the vendors, any vendor, with their client? So for example, are we synced in with the systems of our clients so that we can speak to the public and give them information that's accurate, quick, and up to date in all cases so that they know what's going on with their healthcare? You hear a lot of things about, as Juan was saying, the patient experience. We have some clients that have created a concierge program, for example, where there is one person that walks them through the revenue cycle from the time of their pre-registration to the time of paying their final amount that they owe. We see the clients that are doing well, and the clients, and how we will do well, we presume, is by using technologies to get information to the patient quicker. The transparency of pricing is going to be a big deal, I think. Patty, what do you have to say about the technologies?
For us, knowledge is power. You know, I know for us, having system access to our client's database to be able to answer real-time questions on the spot, you know, everybody's so busy nowadays, having the information right there, the correct information readily available is great. You know, again, being able to understand what we're preaching to our consumers, knowing that we're telling them the right things, knowing how to direct them to the right person, if they need to go back to their insurance company, et cetera, you know, that is all very important. Just real-time, up-to-date, knowledgeable information.
You know, and one of the things that's coming up technologically, we're seeing more and more of our clients come into one single bill environment for the patient. If we can ever get there, that would be fabulous. If any of you have ever wanted to learn what it's like from the patient perspective, manage the medical bills of someone in your family or in your circle of friends that has become ill. It is complicated. We all do this for a living, and still you get piled up with EOBs and bills and providers that were never seen face to face, perhaps radiologists in the background or pathology or lab. It's a complicated system, the way that we've set up how we deliver healthcare and how we bill for it. to not only the insurance companies, but the patients. So do that. Manage the healthcare for somebody for a little while, or at least the financial perspective of it, and understand the better the technology, the better understanding the public will have. If the public understands what they're paying for, they're going to get on board. Most of the complaints and negative impact that you see out there from the opinions of the public have to do with the lack of transparency. They don't understand how it works because it's complicated. So again, for the future in innovation, it's transparency, simplicity, technology, and getting information in front of the people in a way where they can log in and do it in their jammies on their own when they feel like it.
That's a really great point. Tim, Juan, Patricia, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fantastic discussion. And I look forward to connecting with you all again soon.
Thank you for the chance.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you.
We also want to thank our podcast sponsors, Progressive Management System. You can tune in to more podcasts by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.